Previously on
the Weebcast.
These girls, right? They drink a shit ton of water. You know what that means?
Right.
You know what that means? That's a lot of piss. And I like that.
I'm afraid to tell you, but trees don't pee.
Fuck you. You fucking asshole. What the fuck?
Plants don't pee, Tom.
Fucking kill yourself.
I'll rock this rub step. Come on, old friends. Kimochi.
Come on, old friends.
You and me.
If that shit don't say not safe for life, I ain't reading it.
Hello.
Well, dude, hold on. There's a guy that's swapping out a 7-liter truck engine into a Lada.
Are we done?
Alright.
It reminds me of the 2JZ.
Frig, I swear to God. You fucking nigga.
This used to become a fucking tradition every start of the podcast.
Oh my God.
We begin with a completely irrelevant fucking topic. Like Nobunaga from Fate.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know it was a Nobu character. I saw that just on April 1st, everyone said
Well,
Nobu.
I mean, Nobunaga is a someone famous in Japan. Like, it's based on a real person.
I thought it was a he.
Yeah, it's a guy. I associate it with the Fate character, though, of the little chibi Nobu. That's also a tank.
Nobu. Well, hello guys, this is the Weebcast.
Hello, welcome to
I'm
the
Tone.
Weebcast. I fucking hate you, Corbo, so fucking much. Hello, welcome to the Weebcast. I'm Tone, and I'm joined by Corbo. Corbo.
Hello. It's Corbo.
Frig.
Oh, okay.
And Joe.
Sorry, kiddies. No jokes today. Daddy's not in the mood.
Oh, this is going to be a very serious topic. We're talking about demons.
No, it's not a serious topic. I'm just too tired to shitpost.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because somebody...
Because someone arrived on the scheduled time.
Yeah, you arrived on the scheduled time that
it
you
was
scheduled.
A shitty schedule that only happened because you can't plan out your anime watching.
That's because you wanted to reschedule it to fucking Saturday.
Look, I know how to get Joe motivated again.
Look.
This show is about 37 siblings. Know what that means, Joe?
They're all
underage kids. I don't fuck with that.
No, well, first of all, they're not siblings.
Yeah, but...
I mean, like, if they were, that would mean that,
Look, alright, let Frig dream, okay? Don't be
alright, hold on, Frig, explain the plot to the show.
No, okay, I haven't even said what we're doing.
Find any doujins, so...
Read the title, bro.
We're doing Promised Neverland, who wants to read the fucking thing?
Guys, we're doing two shows... that are from the last season in a row.
Yeah.
Wow. New record.
Wow.
Whoa.
And next season, and this current season looks like trash, so we might not do anything from it.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe
man.
The Fox girl. I don't know. Anyway.
Fox wife is pretty good.
Anyway, Corbo, do you like to tell us what Promised Neverland is about?
No, I want to hear Frig.
Corbo, I swear to God.
No, so, Promised Neverland, as the name implies, you know, this is what they took from us. you know, it's about an island with, let's see, what's 37 divided by 2? What's 38? 15 plus 4. So, it's about 19 Onichans and 19 Emotos on an island. They're all, you know, like orphans or whatever. Now... everybody knows when there's an Oni-chan and a Moto that are orphans, you know, that always leads to good things.
Yeah.
As evidenced by the sacred text,
yeah.
Yasuga no Sora.
I swear. Okay. So.
So, okay. Yeah, no shit.
Fucking cool.
Thankfully, there's.
Fucking Corbo.
The only thing is that having Frig on is a little redundant because like there's no doujins for this unless it's about the mom character.
Yeah, that is. I looked into doujins and could not find any. So.
Which we will get into Best Girl. And, it is not her.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So,
go ahead.
All right. So I'm going to, this is a little like first episode spoilers, but I do recommend the show. So
this is very good.
Take care. Go watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, first episode pretty much tells you everything you need to know. Yeah. It's about a orphanage that is set in the middle of fucking nowhere, which is, you know, surrounded by a giant wall that's in a sort of octagon shape. You only really know that later, but anyway, so these kids that are in this orphanage are being farmed by demons, and essentially they're after they find out in the first episode, throughout the entire season they plan an escape. Yes. And all the sort of situations and goofing off and wacky, you know, hijinks that ensue with that, including their mom breaking one of the girl's legs. That was fun. Yeah. And yeah, and the whole kind of like, besides the escape part, the other I guess feature of this show is that like the three main casts are like very smart, very gifted. So like they come up with these plans that are like, you know, not normal kids wouldn't really come up with.
Yes. They're very smart. They're a very diverse and intellectual group.
Not really. They're actually like basically two white kids and like a Japanese
kid. I know. Well, the...
Oh, I mean, my bad. Irish isn't white.
Yeah. Fucking retard. So it's basically exactly like The Great Escape, but instead of Steve McQueen, we have Wally.
I would say it's more like Degrassi, but no.
Joe, what would you say about the would you say that's a good plot synopsis? Maybe I'm forgetting something. Joe?
What? I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I was playing FGO.
Yeah, same.
Hey, if your faggots aren't going to try, I'm not going to try either, nigga.
I'm fucking trying right now, retard.
Yeah, you're not trying hard enough.
I still
got to
get like 40 more shapeshifters.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm making a meme and a joke.
Shit meme and you're not funny. Kill yourself.
Oh, bro.
Didn't like actually get a part of
Ligma.
It,
Ligma? Amazing. What you ask? Ligma balls.
But see, okay, this is my problem. I don't have drops.
I was going to say, how do you respond to a drop BTFO?
You don't. You fucking kill yourself.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, Joe, you want to actually, you know, come into the discussion or what?
What was your dumbass question?
Fucking doing the plot synopsis, dude.
Yeah,
it's so, fucking Chicken Run, whatever.
Yeah, it's Chicken Run, all right? It's fucking Chicken
Run.
Wait,
why were you saying Why are you saying Great Escape?
Because that's a movie that's basically Chicken
Wilma Run. Balls fit in your mouth, son?
Chicken Run is literally a parody of The Great Escape, retard.
I don't know what that movie is.
God damn it.
Retard. Bro, I'm not American. I've never watched this shit.
It's a world war.
Corbo, you're the most American one here.
I swear to fucking God, Corbo.
Okay, I'm googling it right now. I'm like, there's like a patio, like I don't know, store or whatever. God. They sell patio furniture. I'm not joking. It's called The Great Escape.
Kizma, what I hear you say, Kizma Dick.
Where the fuck are you getting these? Yeah, so it's basically Chicken Run, but instead of like, I don't know, there's like the demons are kind of important, I guess.
Yeah, they're pretty important.
They're pretty it's big part of why they're scared shitless of getting caught.
Yeah, it takes place in a world that isn't really, at least in the show, isn't explained a whole lot. All we know. Maybe the manga probably expands on this. I can't speak for it. But all we know is that they live in an orphanage and demons want their brains.
Do they live in a society?
They don't live in a society.
They're the cattle of the society, I guess. Yeah, so the demons want their brains and the more intelligent and gifted ones have a higher priority. But for some reason, like, they have a whole, like, what'd you call, like a not really rule based, but like a sort of a how they determine their stock. And it's basically, it's like, you know, the moment they turn six, if they're not like, if they're not showing signs that they're gifted or that they're you know, fairly intelligent or have promise, they basically get like, you know, to the
chopping
block.
Wait a minute, is this Darling in the Franks again?
I don't know. Was there demons eating people in Darling in the Franks?
Well, Darling in the Franks, like the boomers, it was the boomers that would kill the zoomers if they were not sufficiently skilled enough to operate in Franks. That's my interpretation of the series, and that's why I think it's the best anime of 2018.
God fact, damn it, we need to do that say, show.
In fact, one could say that, you know, 02 and Hero weren't allowed to have a happy ending because they had to contend with boomers. That's specifically the reason why. There you go.
They cannot live in a society if there are boomers around.
Exactly.
It is literally the day of the pillow. Impossible.
The day of the pillow now.
It's coming.
Shut up, boomer.
Shut the fuck up, boomer.
Oh, my heart!
Yeah, so...
this show was pretty fucking popular last season. I don't know about in America, but it did very well in Japan. Already has a second season announced.
Yeah, I don't really know why. I've heard things about the end of the first season was very different from the manga, and people don't really know how exactly they're going to continue it because of
it
this.
Really, it wasn't. It was the exact same.
Yeah, was it?
Okay, so I guess they lied to me. It's fine. Yeah,
they did.
Yeah.
That's why I should... I kind of wanted to
read
the manga.
As far as differences, the only difference is consistent throughout the whole series. There's a lot less inner monologue, which I think is good. Yeah. Some people think it's bad. I think it's good. It makes the show more nuanced.
Yeah, I can kind of understand that. See, so this is where probably me and Joe will... begin to disagree, because I had a huge problem with this show from the very beginning, mostly because I saw a discussion about it. I decided, okay, let me go check it out. Let's see what's going on here. I thought the art style was
mad. The animation is really good. Like
the animation
I think the faces look retarded, but I mean they're little kids. So
it reminds me way too much of Alice in Wonderland, and I don't really like Alice in Wonderland. So I just theme and the everything about it. Yeah, it's a classic, but like I'm talking about like the films of like the cartoon. Like I just don't care for it. It's very cringy.
What the fuck does that even mean? What does the show have in common with Alice in Wonderland?
Dude, that's
fucking explain yourself,
bro. Because it's in Neverland.
If you
want to
draw a theme, it's fucking Peter Pan, dumbass. It's in the title.
I guess. Yeah. I'm talking more about this.
Hold up a sec.
Chokuma. What the heck is that? You ask. Chokuma cock.
Amazing.
Now you can't see it, dear listener, but every time he says those things, he does dab.
That's what the rustling is you hear at the end.
We'll link to the video. It's great.
Yeah. I don't even. Is this like fucking iDubbbz or something?
No.
No, it's
some.
It sounds like iDubbbz.
It's some old.
It's a guy on Fiverr, like dressed up as a doctor. And someone paid him to say, like, every variation of the Ligma joke in existence.
Was it you?
No.
Hold on. Dress up like a doctor.
Buffa what? Buffa these nuts.
He is a real doctor. He's gotta be. Look at him.
This is fucking great. Love this.
Hold up! I don't think I've played this drop on the
show.
This
is the best off-topic we ever do.
It's my constitutional right to scream the N-word.
Who's that?
He is right.
It's that fucking dumb Family Guy meme.
It's the anime dub of Sneakers O'Toole.
Yeah,
classic of the genre.
Now you're gonna have to add that to the art image.
What?
Yeah, let's add Sneakers O'Toole to the audience.
send me images that you want in there, and I'll put them in.
Okay, maybe.
Well, if they're fucking cropped right.
I'm not gonna crop them for you, nigger.
Well, alright, Carbo, what I mean. So what gay shit were you about to say dabbed on you style?
No, yeah, I don't like the fucking aesthetic of Alice in Wonderland shit. And the reason I even say that is because like the fucking advertisement for it was shaped in that way, as well as the opening in some ways is kind of shaped that way. I really do like the opening though. I fucking love the song.
Oh, the opening song. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, why not?
It doesn't fit. Fantastic.
I mean, the song's not bad, but I don't think it fits. Like, I think...
Fits? The fuck are you talking about, Nick?
I don't know, dude.
I like it.
I was getting, like, kind of prison school vibes from... Not from the song itself, but the actual animation in
what?
The opening, which was...
I thought the animation
was kind of weird.
Have you watched Prison
School? I don't
know.
It's not a bad song. It's just I don't think it really fits in a story about
let's bully Tone until he starts liking
kids.
It.
Tone, stop with the shitty opinions.
I just don't think it thematically fits.
That's I mean I don't really care about the song fitting. I think it's very catchy.
What the heck?
But the animation with the song goes really well.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it goes well.
It's just done really well.
It's well done.
The way it's executed is very addictive. I actually ended up listening to the song several times. The full version that is.
Wow.
Yeah, but listen, dude. When there's a good OP, like I like to find the song and jam out to it, bro. Do some head palms.
Okay, Corbo. I think we need to get to the meat of the issue.
Yeah.
Us to do this episode is a little disagreement we had that we need to discuss.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to delay it as much as we can with off-topic bullshit.
All right, let's talk about...
Yeah, so the opening I think was fucking dumb. Like, I think, like, the entire... Not the OP, but the opening to the anime. I think the first few episodes were just... The way they were executed was absolutely just horrendous. Like, the amount of, like, like, you see these kids? They're smart. You know how they're smart? Because they ace these tests that are part of the narrative on here. Like, you see they're smart? Oh, they're playing tag, but it's not just normal tag. It's a very extravagant tag that's like, you know.
It literally is just regular tag until they decided to make it into like training for the escape.
Look, bro,
no,
when I played tag as a kid, it was like,
no, it's literally
solid, okay, what do you want?
I'm talking about before the training actually made sense more than anything else. The playing tag and doing the other shit that they were doing, like, oh, they were so athletic. Look at this. They could do jumps and splits and. Yeah, it's just like my problem is they were trying so hard, and it's very obvious to try to, you know, tell you as the viewer that like these kids are very smart and intelligent. It doesn't come naturally.
I would agree.
It's basically visual fucking exposition.
You're literally complaining that the show uses the rule of show, don't tell. Are you fucking retarded?
No, they tell you more than anything else.
You're literally complaining that there's too much visual exposition, dude. That's exactly what the fuck you're talking about.
My bad. That's not exactly... Okay. Let me rephrase that, because I don't mean specifically just visual. I mean, like... How do you say? There are story plot points specifically to just tell you that these people are smart. It doesn't come naturally as part of their personalities or part of their characters that, you know, these people are generally more intelligent. No, like there's plot point by plot point in like literally two episodes that's all about just how smart they are. And it was so fucking irritating because watching this fucking shit, like I was interested in the plot. The plot sounds cool.
They could have just, you know, shown the kids watching Rick and Morty and we would have gone.
Shut the fuck up, Frigg. Go back in your corner, you dumb fuck.
You know what? I gotta agree with Frigg here.
I mean, like,
if they were like, you know, if they were actually doing something base like drinking Dr. Pepper, that is a true, That's a drink of the intelligence. Intelligentsia.
Bro, 23 flavors, all right? Come on.
23?
Yeah.
He's a doctor, dude.
Bro.
Yeah, but that was my big problem with the first few episodes. Like, I was actually laughing at some of the plot points because I was just thinking to myself, man, okay, so somebody came down on this. Like, this is my issue because I feel like the manga didn't do this. And this is what I was going to ask you, Joe, is that because I thought, like, okay, they're doing this because they have 12 episodes to go. They probably want to jam as much as they can in. You know, the first episode, they already reveal what the whole background is, that this place is not actually a nice and wholesome place. It's actually a farm for children's brains. And, you know, they wanted to get this out of the way as soon as possible so they can actually get to, like, you know, the meat and potatoes of what the show was or what the series was. And in the manga, I would assume that they didn't really do that. You know, they took their time because they, you know, they would have more time for that sort of thing. And it just, I hate it. I hate rushed development like that. It's really painful to watch. But, like, after, like, the third or fourth episode, it picked up much better. And this is why I ended up liking the show in the end.
It definitely picks up. But I don't think that it has. I don't think it's rushed. Like I don't know how would you say would be a good way to show it that they're like smart or whatever.
Okay, so there's a lot of points I need to get to, but I'll state I completely disagree with Corbon, like that like the early episodes were clumsy or not very enjoyable.
No, they were enjoyable. Like
I think
I wanted to see what happened. But my problem was
I never felt the same thing as Corbo did with like being annoyed at them showing them being talented or whatever. I don't really get that. I think Well, try and explain yourself. What exactly about? Let's take
it
a
breaks.
Scene.
It breaks my fucking like suspension of disbelief when it's because it's not just only that like they're, you know, they're trying to show that they're smart. Because like I don't know, let's say something like Death Note did something similar, except they just it was pure just telling you that he was top of the rank student or whatever. But you know, my thing is that I'd honestly rather it do that than take like six different plot points to try to like, you know, fucking jam it into your head that they're like, you know, talented and so smart and yada yada. Because what an easier way
I
to do that?
I think you're exaggerating. I honestly think you're exaggerating,
dude.
Because let's take the first episode. What you get in the first episode, you have scenes that show them being talented. The first one is them in the classroom doing the test, and the three main characters all get top scores. There's nothing unbelievable about that. They established that these main characters we're going to be following are at the top of their class. They're the smartest kids in this entire orphanage. Then afterwards, you've got the scene in the forest where they're playing tag. And you have basically shows what the dynamic kind of is. You have the girl Emma, who's the best at athletics, but is also very smart because she's, you know, she can study to make up for any lack of natural talent. You've got Norman, who's basically just a fucking ubermensch, who's like both athletic and really fucking smart. And then you've got Ray, who's very smart but not athletic. You've got a good balance among these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, you don't, after that, those two moments, you don't get anything else really in the episode.
I remember specifically
that were like that trying to beat you over the head with this them being like smart and talented. Like everything in the first episode, I felt was perfectly in my kind of like suspension of disbelief.
I would have rather they did that sort of like exposition. I would call it. I would rather they have that over like three episodes or such, because doing it in such a
it's too slow. The pacing is too fucking slow. You couldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't know, because like the problem I had too was that it wasn't just like them showing these things. It was like every other character was like basically having to acknowledge it too, because like you know, obviously the other kids aren't as talented as them. They don't even really show that. They just only show that these three main characters are talented. Like, I honestly think that, like, a sort of if they did a sort of comparison to all the other orphans in there, it would have been much easier to show, like, okay, these people are at the top of their ranks, or even just mentioning, like, because it wasn't just those three acts, because later on they even not too later on, but later on I remember they were saying, like, oh, you know, they're the ones that I really want to, like, my special what the fuck was the mom calling them, you know, like they're the special ones, like the ones that I took care of, I my hatchlings or whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, she was very proud of these three that she raised. But no, I had a fucking issue with this execution. I thought it was terrible. It was annoying me constantly throughout, like, three or four episodes. I almost dropped the show if it wasn't for, like, the, you know, the plot synopsis when it, like, it's about fucking demons and shit. I hate especially shit that does that when it's about children that are like 10 and like 11. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when I was 10 and 11, you know, I had my fucking nephews too. Like, I know they're not that smart. They're fucking dumb. Even if they're talented, they're fucking naive and they're fucking dumb and they don't really act this way. Like, my suspension of disbelief just fucking goes out the window. And it doesn't help when you have Ray literally talking about how he's been planning to escape since he was 6 years old. Like, okay, dude. Like, and you know what? Fine, I give them this. Like, there's a, you know, for the audience to understand, there's a plot point later on where Ray is kind of like double crossing everybody that he knows, like, or all the people. Yeah. He's like triple double crossing. Like, he's like a fucking super spy here at 11 years old or 12 years old.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Only like a few episodes before the ending, like, I think episode 9 or 10, or I can't remember which one, they, you know, they reveal that he has some sort of disease, or not disease, but like he's afflicted with something to where he can remember since, you know, since the day of his birth. Like, he was conscious since then. Like, he remembers the test tubes in the farms or whatever.
His brain is just so big, dude.
Dude, he's so such a big brain.
Nigga, this brain, look at this brain. I love your
brain. These are things that irked me. But ultimately, I ended up liking the show.
I wouldn't go that far. I think that something at the end kind of bothered me.
Hold on, Tone, before you go, I want to respond to Cormo.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I guess it just comes down to the way we process media, because none of the stuff you mentioned ever bothered me at all. Like, I never even thought about those things. I have different standards for shit like anime, because it's, to me, it's animation, and my suspension of disbelief can be pushed a lot further than, say, if it was live action. Like, if this was done in live action, I'd probably think it's really terrible. Gay and stupid. Like, what, but I'll forgive a lot more, like, fantastical stuff if it's, like, in this animated medium and it has these other elements to it.
I understand that, because honestly, if this was live action, the kids would be so fucking terrible at acting, and you would probably just end up hating them because they're gonna be like that.
Yeah.
But what's that young Sheldon? It's called. It's gonna be like that guy. It's gonna be like that, probably like that show.
That show is so fucking cringe.
I never watched.
That kind of show where it's like kid acts like a smart ass, and then you want to fucking slap him across the face. Comes to school with
Jimmy
a black
Neutron.
Eye.
Like, alright, so here's the thing. The ending was some fucking Jimmy Neutron tier shit. I'm sorry.
Wait, hold on. Let's kind of progress through the plot.
Don't get too ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
I want to talk about episode one, because I have a lot of notes about
episode one was good.
The first thing I need to say right here is fuck you, Joe. You're a faggot, and you're taste of shit.
No, you. Oh, got it, bitch!
Damn,
bro.
I don't know what to do now.
Corbin just.
I'm trying to get us heated, dude.
In my opinion, episode one of Promise Neverland
fucking gay
is to me, about as perfect of an introductory episode as you can have for this kind of mystery show, because I think it does... let me finish. I think it lands every beat it needs to in a perfect way. It has a setup of this like idyllic life in the orphanage, but also some like disconcerting elements to it.
Yeah, I do like that about it.
But something like, you'll notice much more on a second rewatch. Like maybe on the first one, you'll just get a bad feeling, right?
The mom's weird fucking smile.
This show has some of the most like creative uses of like creative directing and, for lack of a better word, cinematography I've seen in like recent anime. Because just in episode one, there was so many like shit that I thought was like really clever visual metaphors. Like when they were playing tag, you have Norman like trying to find Emma, and in the background, in multiple shots, you have this like giant fucking pocket watch that was shown that Ray had it earlier. It's this visual metaphor for like time passing and him like trying to like act against the clock. I thought that was clever. You don't really see that kind of stuff in anime usually.
Yeah.
Then something else I noticed, if you guys remember in the first episodes, there's the scene where Connie the little girl is getting to leave, right? She's being processed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's saying goodbye to all her friends, and she starts like kind of tearing up, and you know how she doesn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the other kids starting to like tear up and cry, and then it's just like, you know, boom, smash cut, doors closed, she's gone. I was like, whoa, I wonder why they chose to like do that, where they cut the crying scene completely short. And I think that to get all
probably
like
due to timing.
No, fuck off.
Why I think they did that is just to give that more kind of like disconcerting feel, because it sort of establishes the finality of what just happened. You know, Connie's fucking dead. She's gone. Uh-huh. You as the audience don't even know this yet. Mm-hmm. But that door just slammed shut. Then, like, Corbo, even you can probably agree that that whole scene... starting from when they go to return Connie's little like rabbit doll to her, and them just kind of like looking around that gated off area for the first time, is like really well done in terms of, you know, building of the suspense. Because
it was pretty mad gay.
Okay, Corvo.
I think
whatever.
Corvo's
for the audience, I'm gonna explain why Corvo is dumb and gay. So this whole scene is like really well done. It's been beating over the episode has been beating over the head that this is place where the kids aren't supposed to go. It's like mysterious.
Yeah, they showed in some previous scenes that like they're like at the gates, like holding. They're like
The very first shot of the episode is them, the main characters, as smaller kids, looking like, you know, beyond the gate and wondering like what's, you know, what's over there, basically. And it's this kind of ominous shot of the whole, you know, tunnel being all shadowy and shit. But in the lead up, where they're kind of like walking in there, a lot of usage of low angles. The camera is kind of like pretty far and shot looking up at the ceiling. It makes the character seem small and the area seem like very big and foreboding. I thought it was really good.
Very then, big and large and spooky.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
so you've got
well shot.
You know it's also Emma, big and large and spooky.
Your tumor in your brain.
Damn.
Got but anyway, you. in the scene, Emma goes to like you know, there's a truck in the tunnel. She says, maybe if she leaves the little rabbit doll in the back, she'll find it and it'll be fine. She moves. Suddenly, smash cut to Emma's horrified face, and then backing off. Then we kind of like see Norman walking over, and there's another slow scene where the camera is following behind him, and Norman himself is actually, I think, kind of blurry, out of focus, while the rest of the scene is in focus. Yeah. Which was another interesting thing. And slowly walks up to the fucking, you know, truck. And then, boom, Connie, fucking gray corpse, eyes, you know, wide open in horror, sitting in the back. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you know what? I wanted to ask Joe, what exactly happens? Did they put a flower into them to suck out the blood, or what's going on?
Yes, here? I thought that was pretty obvious.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe there's some fucking bigger explanation in the manga as to what actually happens. Like, did they just become unconscious, or...?
It's a special flower that kills you instantly by sucking out all your blood, and it's painless. Mm. That's it.
Well, that's very nice of demons to do that.
Well, it's like this whole ritualistic thing in their religion, why they use that flower, basically. Like, the manga goes into a lot more detail about, like, what the actual world outside is like. But you guys won't know anything about that until the second season's gonna air.
I don't know. But I'm gonna watch it.
To kind of quickly wrap up me sucking off this entire first episode.
Yeah, please.
Facial animation in this show is fucking on point. Like, those sheer horrified faces on the kids really fucking sell you. And I think, in general, this show does really good stuff with facial animation and animation in general.
I guess.
One last little directing thing I wanted to point out is at the very end of the episode. Very end of the episode, there's, like, Emma and Norman are discussing what they just saw while all the other kids are asleep and trying to figure out what they should do. And they kind of, like, build a plan, or, all right, we're going to get out of here and we're going to help all of our, like, other kids at the orphanage escape.
Kid. Even the toddlers.
And fucking the music is, like, you know, really hopeful and crescendoing. And then it just cuts to, like, this really sharp, discordant noise, and it shows the, like, caretaker looking at the doll they dropped back at the tunnel with this, like, creepy fucking face. And that's where the episode ends.
The mom is like, oh shit, nigger. The kids have found out. She doesn't know which kids, though, at first. But I don't know. The one thing I really do appreciate about this show is, throughout the episode, they really do keep you in suspense about who knows what's going on, what is the exact technology being used, because this is supposed to be in, like, 2046 or some shit. Like, you know, I guess 20 or 30. This is basically like if the Jews won and they, you know, showed their true form as demons and they started forming children.
I guess. But,
dude, come. That's not what you got? That's not the vibes you got from this?
I just got demons, man.
Listen, dude.
I don't know.
Demons, bro. Come on. Fucking interdimensional demons. Where's fucking Alex Jones?
The fuck is this shit? Tone's always calling shit satanic and demonic, and this is the one.
Yeah, I got demons out of it. Bro. I didn't really get, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just comparing that because I don't like Jews.
That's fair.
So, you know, I'm comparing them to demons that would farm children. Because, I don't know, they want their brains or some shit.
That's fair.
It's not actually what they want, though. So, whatever. I don't know. The one thing besides the suspense and all that is actually I actually did get a lot of wholesome vibes from the orphanage itself. Like there's like a sort of theme in the show later on where they're trying to like they're kind of making the mom out to be a gray moral character of sorts. It doesn't, you know, every time you think about it though, you don't think that at all. But like, you know, they try to basically she's a very good actor, or she's very good at trying to like you know, be the wholesome caretaking mother type. And you know, they do this thing where basically she makes an argument that, you know, there's no point in rebelling. At least enjoy your life and be happy for the next couple years until you have to go. And, you know, enjoy the nice, wholesome, like, fun, basically, kidsy sort of existence. And, you know, obviously it's not really going to, for the layman, maybe that might, you know, work. But, you know, these are gifted children. They're not going to, little too extravagant for them. They need more extravagance. Not the mundane. But yeah. I mean, I wouldn't really consider it mundane, but at the same time, like, that argument works. The argument she tries to make with this works a little bit on me.
Because I'm like, I think the little niggas just don't want to die.
Yeah, no shit.
I don't know, I guess.
But it's like, real quick, think to yourself too, like, what if we only had lifespans that were up to, you know, 12 years old or 15 years old or some shit?
It'd suck. But I guess...
Yeah, it would suck.
After a while.
I swear to God, though, I thought... I actually did have a thing where I started to think that, like, some fucking faggot tier vegetarians or vegans would try to make some argument about this. On like Twitter, they're like, see, this is what we literally do to animals, even if you take care of them or some shit.
They would try.
I honestly thought they were gonna try to like use this as an example.
Thinking about something, and I think it's a possible criticism people might have for this because it's one I see a lot for shows like this, and that's depicting violence towards children. People seem to think that it's always like just a cheap trick to get a reaction out of someone, and I think in this context, it's really not. There are definitely
it's a natural instinct, dude.
Movies that do
the
that.
Only
oh yeah,
time
yeah.
They directly like depict violence against a child is one of the most like effective.
Oh yeah, yeah. I agree.
Like I physically cringed at that.
Oh yeah, it's hard to watch at times. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and,
the
like I'm pretty
noise.
Types of shit.
I legitimately thought she, so to explain to our audience, there's a scene later on where they're attempting an escape, not really not attempting, but more like testing out like some, you know, some sort of idea with the walls that they're surrounded by to try to see, you know, what's over them. What are their, what are their chances of actually getting past all through all these defenses and such. And they get caught by the mother. The mother realizes where they are. She goes to them, and then pretty much she tells them, like, yeah, nah, it ain't happening. So she basically, Emma comes up to her, grabs her while Norman tries to go up the wall to go and test it out. She essentially grabs Emma, breaks her fucking leg, and then, like, brings her back to the house, like, to take care of her. And the fucking noise they use, the sound effect they use for the bone breaking, it's like... It's fucking. It sounds like she's having her arm torn off, but it's like.
By the way,
they don't even show the fucking bone breaking or the leg breaking. They fucking go off scene with it.
I know they show it, but they don't.
I actually looked it up. Like, what the fuck she actually did to her? It's not that she like broke a bone in half. She like physically broke the little like fucking thing. That's between your like knee and your like calf.
Yeah.
You mean the tendon? Like
not the tendon, but like the knee. She broke the knee bone in half. Like there's actually multiple small bones in that area, and she
it is pretty gross. It's pretty cool though. Yeah,
it was a very effective scene. I was like, fuck, bro.
My only problem though is that they kept doing this thing where they made it look so ominous whenever the mother like knew about something and the other children looked like they were in on it even though they weren't.
Wow.
Like they kept doing this. I guess it's a minor.
It's just supposed to be a red herring in a mystery show to throw you off and make you think like, oh, who's the like spy or whatever.
I mean, here's the thing, though, is that they actually later on reveal that. Yeah. No, yeah, we do know who the real Jews are. They're the demons. I actually like that at the ending, they ended up showing some of the demons, too. Again.
Demon designs are pretty cool.
They didn't show them at all for a really long time in the show.
They showed them a little bit, like, pretty early on.
Yeah, early it's on, kinda, and then never again until the last episode.
Yeah.
You know, actually, having read the manga, it's not actually just the demons who are Jews.
Oh, but yeah, like, yeah. I'm sure the humans are, like, betraying their own and such to get, like, favors.
I'm not going to get into it because it's spoilers. It's spoilers. I'm not going to talk. But they make the common proletariat demons more sympathetic.
Bro, I got it. The fucking demons are Jews and the humans are Anglos. That's what it is.
Thinking about it, you could totally make a point about how the show is actually an allegory for the working class rising up against their masters.
Oh, God.
I mean, I guess. But,
that's
I
one
guess.
Interpretation of the show you could make. You could do, like, a whole animal rights interpretation. The show's got a lot of, like, applicability to it you could do, which I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to take things at face value.
I guess. I don't know. I'm the thing is that I actually wanted to point out something that I found very interesting. It's the way that they raise these children, because, like, you find out that, like, you know, there's no, it's 2046, like, I'm sure they have lots of technology, but everything looks old age. The newest thing they have, really, what's it called, is, like, photography, I guess, or photography, yeah, is brought in by, like, you know, favors for favors. But yeah, they don't really have anything else, and it's like, I'm sure, like, there's some, what do you call, I don't know, sort of thing, like, oh, well, this is just for, like, aesthetics or theme or whatever, because, you know, that's, like, how it's supposed to be. But I honestly think, like, it was the author kind of saying, like, okay, what would be, like, the best environment to raise children in? And it's, you know, surrounded by lots of books, large outdoors, you know, very homely looking home of, like, you know, fairly simplistic lifestyles. You know, no need for, like, extravagant technology and such, besides, like, the testing materials. The testing materials was the biggest, the highest advanced technology there, mm-hmm, honestly. Besides, like, and I fucking found it funny, though, that they're using radio to fucking channel each other over. The moms, the caretakers, they're using radios to call in their home base. I don't know, it feels as if, like, this fucking show is set in, like, a fucking different, completely older, different time period.
I mean,
yeah, it's weird.
Modern militaries use radios.
Yeah, they do. Like, they use kind of shitty ones.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, like, that's the military. This is, like, a woman with her secret, like, inside bunker little area of the house that she contacts, like, her fucking chief of staff, or, you know, her grandma, basically.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, it was kind of funny that they used radios. Big, bulky radios.
But
not really.
That's a valid interpretation about, like, all the old-timey stuff and the way they're raised. Like, yeah. I can elaborate on this stuff. This is actually a plot point that's fairly important in the manga. But I'm probably going to leave it unspoiled for you guys.
Okay, are we actually going to do spoilers this episode? Like, past the
like, I can talk about it. It's just if you guys want to have stuff that's going to happen spoiled to you. Some of the stuff's, like, fairly big spoiler territory.
Do you guys want to talk about the controversial thing?
With the nigger.
It's only controversial. Dude, it's like, look, I'll say this. Look, guys, I'll say this, and I don't care how much shit I get for this. Like, Sister Crone, that, like, the black, actually became one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, she was. I agree. Like, she was, like, a pretty well written character. Like,
guys, listen, we're
she
not
had her own.
This.
She
our favorite
had
character
shit
was
she
the black
to.
Woman.
Yeah,
yeah, we're not.
She was best girl.
This
what do you want, bro?
This is a non-racist podcast here,
bro,
right?
I mean, look, she was best girl.
I'm actually
what
black. That's why I can say nigger. Yeah. I got
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, she made me break NoFap, you guys. It's all.
Tone masturbates the traps in black women.
She got them big old lips.
Dude,
listen.
Man. Those
listen,
are dick
you know
sucking
what?
Lips, all right?
I can appreciate an accurate depiction of a race or ethnicity. All right, listen, the Japs, you know, they tend to, like, in certain art styles, they tend to draw themselves very, I mean, not really that attractive. Like, they it's you know, they kind of go in more of a truth sense. Like when it isn't like
trying to toot their own horn.
Yeah, they're not always trying to toot their own horn. Like sometimes they don't, you know, go for the idealist art style of like large eyes and pale face and such. Like they actually have like shows where, you know, they're fair, you know, they got chink eyes and fairly brown and swarthy.
Well, I noticed that you know, like anime characters you know, as they age, they just suddenly transform from European to old Chinese grandmother.
Yeah. Yeah, and this one, I mean, like, the one thing is that I think it's very obvious which one is, like, what race there is. Like, Norman is, like, obviously, like, Scandinavian. Like, probably Danish.
So he's a nigger?
No. Come on, like, okay, proper Scandinavian.
He said the black woman was his favorite character, so.
Well, oh, I mean, yeah, she was pure Aryan. What do you want?
Shut the fuck up.
Bro, that's a Swedish waifu right there, right? That's, like... Mm.
Yeah, the mom later on is more obviously what do you call it? She's either Asian or Iberian. I only say Iberian because like in like a they made like a joke ad for this on April 1st where they basically like showed off a daycare they were supposedly opening called like Grace's Faith or something like that.
Grace Field,
that's what it was called. Thank you. Yeah, and they showed like two realistic versions of Crone and the mom. What the fuck was the mom's character?
Isabella.
Yeah, Isabella. There we go. That's fucking.
My mom fucked a dog from Animal Crossing. It's so bad.
Shut the.
I would live in Isabelle's.
Was that you?
I would. No, that was Tom. I would live in Isabelle's orphanage.
What the heck?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so okay, she is Iberian. I thought she was Asian just because Ray looks really, really Asian. Or he was like the obvious Japanese self-insert.
Does he?
He doesn't look that Asian.
It's kind of hard to fucking tell with this shit, bro. It's
man, like, I don't really think.
Emma's obviously Irish.
Yeah.
Irish
He's the real nigger of the series.
Bro, literally none of the main cast was white. What the fuck?
I know, dude. We don't even have fucking Italian. Okay, hold on. No,
can
I know
we,
who was,
can we talk
I know who was Italian. Phil was Italian.
Guys,
oh, bro.
No. Phil was the MVP. He was the best boy.
Dude, he fucking knows that he knew the truth. I don't even remember how he found out.
He was the realest nigger.
Because they're so smart.
Dude, they're so smart. These kids
Bro,
are so
I'm smart. Not even, I'm he wasn't even smart. Right he was just basic observational skills.
Nah, dude, fuck off. He was actually the highest IQ of the group.
Okay,
he was actually he was fucking. You know what he was doing? He was quadruple double crossing Ray.
No, what's
and
the
he didn't even know it.
Just
holy shit! That's impressive.
I know,
that's
right?
The most obnoxious drop I could play right now.
At your age, not your dick size.
Oh, it fucking cut off a little.
Oh.
That sucks. Oh well. Yeah, so let's talk about Isabella. I like Isabella.
You know, why?
Sister Crone is second best girl, Isabella is first best girl.
Bro. No.
The mom like,
bro, you literally. All right. This is
no,
like,
listen,
this is where Corbo's mommy GF posting ends. He's gonna get MILF to murder him.
No, listen, faggot. Okay, she was fucking. You know, I didn't like her for obvious reasons because I thought she was a fucking psychopath, and she still is, obviously. But you know, she was pretty bad at the start. But you know, she came around. She came around. Yeah, I started to like her a lot more, and then the ending came along. And that's basically like, come on, bro. Like, dude.
I mean, like,
her,
it shows
her
as
down,
like a little girl.
Her hair.
Like, I mean, like,
I'm not
showing her.
I'm not talking about.
You think she looks hot? No. I mean, I don't know.
Dude, her hair down. She's basically like gave up in the entire idea of like chasing after them. You know, she tries. You know, it's not completely genuine, but she tries.
She
to do,
tried
like,
so hard and got so far.
But in the end,
and it doesn't even matter.
Legitimately, it didn't even matter. She like just took all the toddlers and like, you know, had them sit around, and she knew Phil knew, but she was like, "Nah, it's okay. Just come and sit down."
bro.
Let's have fun right. around the house fire.
Right, I don't think she fire. Knew that Phil
Since
knew.
We're talking about...
Oh, no,
about...
she did, because she said they escaped. All right, yeah, never mind.
Since we're talking about fucking the end, fucking Norman's, like, I think that's his name.
You know they fucking...
This is fucking, like, Jimmy Neutron fucking shit. It's like, oh, I'm gonna set this shit all up. It's like, fuck you, alright?
This is what I mean, though. Like, I knew they were gonna do this shit from the first episode. That's what I got angry at. I knew they were gonna do it, but you know what? I'll give the show this. It came around, and, you know, even though I knew it was gonna do that sort of, like, I was actually planning this from the start. Yeah, sort of bullshit. Yeah. You know, I enjoyed it.
That's I
it was believably executed. I don't get what you're complaining
about.
Listen, I don't disagree in the end. At the beginning, I could see what the plot was going to be a mile away. What they were going to, like, you know, use throughout the episodes. And I was very annoyed at that. And they did end up using it, but you know what? It's like, you know, you get some, you know, you take some, and they gave me more than they took.
Yeah.
Plus, Isabella's fucking hot, so I don't care what you say. I would definitely have her as my mommy GF.
I mean, she's no Aryan goddess like the other one, but I mean, she's okay.
Shut the fuck up. Kron's death was actually
disappointed
in it. I was like, it was like basically her. I mean, it made sense. You know, she died. From her own hubris, and we should actually go over what exactly the nigger character is, or like what happened with her.
She's a nigger.
Yeah, a lot of fucking, you know, leftists were, you know, sparking up about this like usual. And, I mean, yeah. it's no surprise to anyone that they would.
Well, it's like it's not enough. Like you can have a nigger character, but like they're like godlike.
The thing is, this is the perfect depiction of a nigger, a loudmouth, unintelligent, and, you know, fairly fucking like aggressive and egotistical. Like she basically because she died from her own hubris. I honestly believe that Isabella was basically trying to get rid of her, but you know she basically said, hey. Like, you know, this is your chance. Just get out. Like, don't fuck with anything more than you already have. And, you know, you won't have a problem.
Well, no, because she set her up to die.
Well, no, she only died because she wanted to fucking babble about the kids. Like, the grandma... Like, I would say
I'm pretty sure, I'm fairly sure that Isabella, even before that, knew that she was gonna die.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she died just because she chose to tell that to grandma. They were gonna kill her off anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I think that was the whole point. Like, she gave her the card, she gave her the, you know, the little note, like, as a sort of a silencing technique. Like, a don't talk, like, cause, you know, did Isabella really know what grandma was gonna do?
Yeah, I think so. Because they're like Isabella and Grandma are pretty much on the exact same wavelength.
I mean, is this later in, you know,
No, it's in the show, dude.
Yeah, dude. I don't know.
I didn't feel that during the show.
Did you forget that Grandma was the one who convinced Isabella not to run away? And basically, like, brainwashed her into believing what she believes now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the brainwashing part, but she did stop her from leaving. But I thought that was supposed to be a sort of like a comparison, as in like that's what she was going to have to do too with her kids.
Yeah, Isabella's goal is basically she wants to fuck over. Not Isabella. What's the black one?
Crone's.
Crone's goal is she Sister wants Crone. To fuck over Isabella.
She wants to become like the main best. Caretaker.
Yeah.
And like fucking over Isabella is just something she does in like trying to get to that goal.
Yeah, because I mean that's the thing is that like it's fairly obvious it's because of her ego. Because like she sees herself as better than Isabella even though she gets fucked over constantly by her.
I don't think it's just about ego, but also, like, survival in our mind. Because
even as just like a normal assistant caretaker or whatever, it doesn't seem like her survival prospects are all that high. Given how like fucking nonchalantly they decide to kill her off as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, demon run world. They could easily kill these sorts of caretakers off.
Like, even Isabella was the whole reason why she was like the best was because she wanted to like live the longest out of anyone to like spite the demons, basically.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know. I didn't see that explained too well throughout the story. Maybe you got more from the manga and that's why you're coming to those conclusions.
Because to
it's an obvious requirement to have these mother caretakers, and it's not like every single girl that they raise is somehow going to be able to do that, or it's going to be the perfect candidate for that.
Yeah, kind of. But let's talk about that. The whole God, fucking damn it! Now you made me lose my train of thought
about the manga.
Yeah, let's talk about the lack of inner monologues, exposition in that manner, because this is something that a lot of people complained about who'd read the manga before they watched the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
That they complained that a lot of like character motivations and stuff were left like confusing because there's no inner monologue, whereas the manga was basically entirely inner monologue.
So the thing
like,
is,
in a comparison, like of the last episode, where in the anime Isabella's like final bit has her kind of like seeing little clips of her past, you know, the kid Leslie who like wrote the song that she sings to the kids and whatnot, and her go into like the training facility for the caretakers. That whole thing in the manga was full of inner monologuing about what's going on, what's my motivation, and stuff like that. I thought this was a good decision because this gives more nuance to the show and makes the watch, like, you know, viewer actually have to fucking pay attention and, you know.
So here's
not
the
just
kind
switch
of,
the brain off.
Here's a kind of thing that I will say that I think is pretty important when it comes to two different mediums, like a written visual reading medium and then like a visual animated medium. Because like inner monologue is usually it's never really done right in anime. It's always pretty bad. It kind of sticks out. Doesn't really completely make sense. And not only that, but like the whole point of a visual medium is not needing to have all this dialogue in general. Like most of it is showing rather than exposition.
If you're a good director, you don't need inner monologue because you can rely on the visuals, the sound, the music, the dialogue, all this kind of like stuff put together. Whereas a still medium like manga written novels, inner monologue becomes like much more important just because it's harder to like conjure up this image of what a character might be like thinking.
Because what will happen is either you're spending like 20 minutes explaining a setting and trying to like tell the reader what's exactly going on action by action, or you have a sort of monologue. A monologue that the character sings out and kind of is like a narrator. You can't really that's a problem. You can't eventually can't really have a narrator in an animated series. Or rather it doesn't work as well.
Yeah,
as in a written
it doesn't work
medium.
Very well. It's kinda
Yeah, to kind of draw a comparison to a show that's currently airing that I actually really enjoy, it's called, I think the English title is Demon Slayer. It's by Ufotable.
Ufotable.
I sometimes call it Ufotable and sometimes I call it Ufotable.
Ufotable, yeah.
But
we made fun of Corbin.
It's Ufotable.
I mean, if you want to go with the Japanese, it would be Ufotable.
Yeah,
but
Kimetsu no Yaiba.
Anyway, with the show,
I enjoy it a lot, but I think the show has a really fucking bad issue with inner monologue, like excessive amounts of it. Because they'll do the thing where you can tell what's going on purely on visuals and what's going on screen, and then they'll just fucking explain it anyway. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up. I don't need this.
Yeah, I think it's
you know, there's a shot of like the character running through the woods and there's these traps and he's like trying to dodge them. But he can't, you know, avoid all of them. But then the inner monologue chimes in. Oh, despite me grasping the trick to this, I'm still not agile enough to dodge the things as he's failing to dodge the things. What the fuck is the point of this? I can see what's happening on the screen. What is the point? Earlier on, it shows the like a character gasping for air, like having a hard time breathing. And then the fucking inner monologue kicks in again, and it's like, I'm having a hard time breathing because the air is thinner in this mountain than my home. It's like, God, what is wrong with you people? Just shut the fuck up. Let the scene speak for itself. I don't need this.
I mean, like, the one thing you might not know, like, that sort of inner monologue is more... it's more like for if you can't really show too well what exactly is the, you know, what exactly is happening. As you know, you might need to add an extra detail to explain it that you can't.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Like let's say, like he was on a higher mountain or whatnot, but you don't need to explain like I'm having a hard time breathing. You know, we can fucking see that.
Yeah,
we understand that.
Know exactly why he's having time. We can make our own assumptions about.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that.
If I had the choice between lack of exposition and excessive exposition, I'd choose the former.
I think people generally see monologues in movies or animation or visual storytelling as kind of lazy, kind of questioning their intelligence in a way.
Yeah, it's condescending.
Like, yeah, yeah.
This reminds me of, you know, Get Out, that movie by that... half black, half Jew. Can't remember his name. But that reminds me of something that ER actually talked about, where like the entire like opening to this movie was literally like some nog, like in the middle of like some white neighborhood or whatever, like talking to himself, like as if he was monologuing, but he was doing it outwardly, like not in his head, and it was just like so. It was just like apparently it was so fucking terribly done. And it was just, it seemed so lazy and silly. It's like, yeah, I mean, like people talk to themselves. Sure. That's not unbelievable, but you know, it's a thing. It's like people also shit themselves. You know, do you want to show that too?
Yes. So much.
I mean, I was trying to think of something else that whatever. Anyway, good enough example. You get what I mean? Like just because it's believable, or people actually think like this to themselves, or maybe they don't. Like, it doesn't mean you need to show it in a film. Because, you know, the reasoning behind a lot of the direction and execution of all this is for something very specific. And if that's fucking, you know, shat on by like, you know, your desire, your basically just laziness, ruins it all. It sucks. Yeah. But yeah, did you have anything to more add with that, Joe?
I know. I think you summed it up pretty well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the manga does that. Like, it's probably not as annoying as if it was done in animation.
It's necessary in the manga, just because of the limitations of the medium.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I wanted to actually read the manga specifically when I first started watching the series. I think I said so earlier, but wanted to read it because I you know, the execution at the beginning of the show I thought was horrible. I thought it was very annoying. It was actually more of like there are plot annoyances that I had that were showed and that I thought that were probably better done in a more static written medium. Because
I can't speak for you, but in terms of differences, the stuff was pretty minor. Like, in the scene in the classroom where the kids are taking the test, like, in the manga, they specifically show the actual questions being asked. Like, what the fuck is actually the test is about? Whereas in the anime, they just, it's like weird shapes, and they scan, like, fucking UPC codes or whatever. Barcodes.
Yeah, so that's pretty odd. Imagine there'd be some fucking like Asian tier math question, calculus too.
Yeah, there was mostly like math questions of if you know, it shows like a shape made out of triangles and like, oh, if you put this together in like this formation, what would the surface area of the object be? And like this really advanced like autistic questions.
Sounds about right. So, okay, Joe, I actually want to know what you think. Like, who do you think is best girl? Let's do it.
Best girl.
I mean, really can't be a best girl on a show about, like, you know, like...
Okay, just who was your favorite character?
My favorite female character was actually the female lead, Emma. Because I really liked her character. Just, like, how important her, like, extended family is to her and how that motivates her. Like, yeah, oftentimes these kinds of ganky characters tend to like a bit annoy me, but it never happened this time. I just found her very like sympathetic and a good protagonist.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought of her. I was actually kind of more on Ray's side, even though he was the.
I liked Ray. Episode 11, where Ray is like preparing to set himself on fire. I was like, dude, that's fucking metal, bro. That's fucking metal.
It felt very relatable. Like
dude, his facial expressions when he's like raging at the demons, like how he's gonna, you know, fucking steal their meal from like underneath their noses by setting himself on fire. That was like pretty lit, bro.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. Suicide by sticking up to those demons.
Also,
suicide.
Also, I actually kind of like it where it's in the next episode where he's still like kind of in shock or complaining, and then fucking Emma straight up. I think she fucking headbutts him or some shit. Like really knocks him around. That was funny.
I don't think I remember that, but when it comes to Emma for me though, I was very annoyed with her sort of like we have to bring everybody no matter what, and not really realizing, okay, you know, who's gonna carry all the toddlers, you know, what are we gonna do?
She
about
did realize it in the end.
Yeah, no, she did, but it's like, if I guess for me it was like, I'm kind of glad that like it was the show, like the character was written in a sort of way that exactly how a woman would fucking feel about this, because of course, like, you know, the two men are like, yeah, that's not very possible, and the woman of course is like, no, we have to do this, it's for the children, we gotta do this.
You can make kind of like this argument that the three leads are kind of like the three elements of consciousness in Freudian psychology. You got the id, the ego, and the superego.
Oh God, are we gonna go through Freud right now?
That's an interesting idea, at least.
I agree, yeah, to an extent. But yeah, I didn't really see that sort of dynamic. I thought of them as sort of I actually was looking at it more racially than anything else, and you know, gender wise.
Well, we kind of have it like Emma is sort of the id, the most emotional and kind of like hot-blooded one who does things based on how she feels. You've got Norman, who's like the ego, who still gets emotional but more rational.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Ray, who's completely rational, doesn't factor emotions into anything, really.
Yeah.
Barely. Well, you know, besides like anger and edge.
No.
Yeah. Is edge an emotion? Can we call that an emotion?
Mm.
That's what I would call it. Listen, sometimes I feel edgy too. Mm. I understand, Ray. Yeah. I get you. Norman actually was my favorite, more favorite character, just in general, because he was far more likable. But I honestly, at the end of like episode 10, they did this fucking thing where, oh, he goes into this room, he has his little hat on, and then, you know, blank, like they don't tell you what happens.
Yeah, does anything?
And then, dude, they actually show through the preview at the end of the episode, they show that like there was something supposed to happen more after that. And then the next episode, they just completely forget it, and they don't ever talk about it again.
I didn't even know he dead, nigga. At the end, yeah.
He dead, nigga.
No, yeah, he's not dead.
I've read the manga. He dead.
I know he's not dead.
Dead.
He dead, nigga. He dead.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so now we know not to trust Joe on any spoilers.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
So were the demons actually Jews, Joe?
Some of them are. The ruling class are Jews.
Okay, that makes sense, yes.
Just like in real life.
Oh, no.
It all, Do you want me to spoil the biggest, like, world twist?
I mean, I don't mind, but I think that anyone listening probably would.
You know what? If there's going to be a season two of this, like, you got to decide now, Tone. Do you want to do a season two episode of this show? Because we could talk about all of that later. Because the last thing I wanted to go over a little bit was the escape when it was actually happening, besides Isabella's role in it. But you got to decide now, Tone.
Wait,
it took forever to fucking watch this show. I can't imagine how season two of this would take.
That's the thing. Like, I'm kind of worried
about it.
We almost
didn't do it.
I don't know. I liked this. I thought it was pretty good. I don't really have any interest in season two. Because, like, the thing I'm afraid of with every sequel to shows that are kind of vague about the background is that they're going to explain way too much. Or yeah, it's either they, or the two problems shows like that usually have is they either explain too much or ask way too many more questions, so it gets even more confusing. And that's kind of what I'm worried about with season two.
I almost don't want to watch it just because I feel as if I'm going to get disappointed.
I feel like the best anime sequels are always for, you know, cute girls doing cute things shows because it's just more of the same.
And, yeah, they don't need to change up anything. They don't need to expand on the plot besides maybe the,
you know, the anime is an ethereal experience. You know, it represents a changelessness, you know, which embodies the ice element.
What the fuck are you even talking about?
Listen, Frigg is in his drunk stoop. He's getting into it. You're drinking right now, aren't you?
I'm not. I am.
I don't believe.
I'm trying to do this fucking programming thing right now, and it's pissing me off.
Oh shit!
It's not working.
Are you programming an anime?
I'm not. I'm programming an app.
So anyway, I think. I don't know, are you guys done here? I don't know. This is a weird one.
I was gonna go a little bit about the I just wanted to say I thought the escape was done really well.
Oh, the escape is cool.
I like everything about it from Ray almost killing himself to you know, even if it's fucking dumb, like, oh, we were planning this all along and we were just not gonna
tell you. I mean, like, I thought that was fucking retarded, but I did enjoy the escape scene.
The thing is that at that point in the show, I just kind of like, okay, you know, I do like it. I know it's dumb, but I like it, so it's kind of like, it's like a vice.
It's good. It's like a...
You know, you kind of wanted it to, because they were like in a stoop, you know, they were like, oh, what do we do now? Fucking Roman's dead, or not Roman. What is his name?
Norman, you dumb retard.
Norman.
Norman. Normie. It was like Normie, Ghost Normie or some shit.
Normie is dead. What do we do?
Hey, guys.
Fucked.
Normie's re, am I right? Ha.
Dude, I actually was really getting fucking pissed off at the mom character for telling Emma to basically give in and be like, yeah, just you know, just give in, just, you know, become fodder for demons, or, you know, maybe possibly hint,
become
make your mom, become a mom, yeah.
Oh, man.
Basically working for demons. I don't know, but that's what kind of made me like the mom characters. That there was like two sides to her. There was either the, okay, she's working for demons, so basically she's a bad actor, and everything she does is essentially just to lie and to manipulate you. Or she actually just enjoys being a caretaker, and this is like, essentially she just doesn't want that to ever go away. And that's what she wants. She wants the kids to stay around for no matter what.
Cute and wholesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was good.
Because that's dude, like, you know, she essentially does that at the end. She gives up going after the kids. And then, wait, are you leaving? I know nobody else seems interested in what I'm talking about.
So. Well, yeah, that's because you suck and I hate you. Oh, now I feel bad. No one can hear the text-to-speech, yeah. Joe.
I don't think Craig can hear that.
I felt like I got a text-to-speech through one time back when I still had a shitty microphone.
Yeah, that's what you should play through your fucking headphones.
Yeah, retard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so shit. Know. Anyway, mean, we already kind of did all the shit posting at the start. So,
yeah.
Are you going to start playing What's Up Pussycat by,
What's New Pussycat?
What's New Pussycat?
Who cares?
Fuck. Hey, alright. That's Tom, alright.
Joe, why do you have to be such a sour grape?
Is that what they call it? No. If I'm a sour grape, then you're a fucking, you know, you're like a fucking...
I'm a sister crone.
No, you're like the plant that never actually got to grow. You just like rotted away in the earth in seed form.
It's pretty harsh, Joe.
What's how you really feel?
What? Joe, is that how you really feel? Joe, why do you gotta be so negative all the time, man?
Whoever's what the fuck big old negative Nancy. That's what he is.
Yeah, you know, the only things you burp out are shit. Like, you never burp out anything, you know, pleasant. You're just always just like...
Not funny and nobody likes...
I'm sad and my, you know, this sucks. The world is gay and Corbel's dumb.
I haven't done that once this entire episode, you disingenuous faggot.
Okay, but you've done one of those things.
No.
Yes, you did. You fucking just did it.
No.
All right, fuck off.
No.
Man, this is what you get. Fucking Tone starts the episode late. I'm sleepy as hell.
Nigger, I did it literally on time. All right, we're gonna wrap it up here. Frig, you there?
Yep.
Fuck yeah. Alright, you said you were going to start shilling the show on Twitter. What's your at?
Oh yeah, it's at Yang Moto Gang. I'll make sure
to put it. Apparently, I saw in Keg, apparently he's going to do it too. He is Powder Keg 357.
Right. Yeah. Damn, that sucks. He has to make a fucking also, name like that.
You can follow Powder Keg, but if you just want your timeline to be full of, you know, lewd anime girls, then you should follow me instead.
It's gonna follow be fucking both. Lewd emotos.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
And you can contact you us know, you would right think wing that the fucking... Alright, go ahead.
You would think that the emoto bit would, you know... get old at some point or just not be applicable all the time, but you just would be very surprised the places where it is applicable.
Emotos are universal. They're the universal truth.
Yeah.
Something
like that. I don't know.
Has grown. By the way, so, okay, let's...
fuck.
Real quick, so if we ever, the next episode we do, are we ever going to do FGO?
No, fuck off.
All right, we'll talk about this off air, okay?
What? Why?
If we ever touch Fate, I'm quitting the fucking show.
Bro, we're not
What if we do a gacha game?
If we do Girls
Frontline. If it's Fate, then I'm quitting the show.
We should do Girls Frontline or Azure Line.
We should do Bang Dream Girls. That's a
great game. Man. That's actually, we should do that.
So we're going to do a gacha game.
We're going to do, we're going to do Genocyber next, and,
hell yeah.
Maybe Starship Troopers after that. The anime.
Wait, the anime?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time. You can contact us at rightwingentertainmentsquads@wordpress.com. That's not it. That's the site. at protonmail.com. I'm retarded. And fucking listen to the show, listen to the other shows, like Not Funny and Little Wars, Bongo Bongo Book Club.
Aren't you forgetting a very important show here? The Fatherland?
The Fatherland. Everybody, that goes without saying retard. Yeah.
Are you?
I don't know how to end this.
Fuck you. We also
we got derailed again.
Yeah.
We also have one other new show coming on the network. Probably never, but maybe eventually. And that is, Mamamoo Rising.
Yeah. Fuck, I hope you guys actually end up doing that.
We'll do it whenever Midgard Rising starts producing content regularly.
All right.
Anything like that.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. And we will be back, in a week or whenever the fuck. All right, see ya.
Anime. Need you night and day, anime. Anime, anime. Want you for my own anime. Anime, anime. Don't ever leave me by myself. Anime, anime. Don't leave me here to cry. You leave me, I will leave, I will die. Anime, anime, I can't live without you. You, I can't live without you. And then I told her, anime, I want you for my own anime. Oh, anime, 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 my own anime. Now, when you're gone, I can't sleep till you get back home. Anime, anime, I can't sleep till you get back home. I know it ain't right. Now, child, give me a little bit. Make it funky. Oh. I'm gonna tell you one more time, anime. You, 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 my pride and joy. Get you up. You, 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 my pride and joy. I better go now. Pride and joy. You, you, you. My pride and joy. Thank you.
Yeah, we can bother you.
That's pretty funky.
Yeah.
I'm just messing around with something.
Ooh, I like that.
Where the fuck did
I did it wrong.
You're not supposed to leave.
Beat I that meat till you yeet your skeet.
I forgot how Discord works.
Anime niggers.
We're keeping this in. I left the PC. I meant to leave.
The subtitle should be for this episode should be anime niggers.
No, don't make the episode subtitle "Beat Your Meat Till You Eat Your Skeet."
Okay.
I hope we start adding subtitle or sub.
Yeah, we can. We can.
That not actual good. Subtitles.
Yeah. All right.